Scott Sigg has retired.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gone. So, is are you busier?
You know, I don't know. I think we did a good job of planning that over the last year or so. So we're always busy. I don't think anybody on this call ever is not busy. I think we've done a decent job of distributing work. And I think, honestly, in my opinion, this remote working environment has helped me a lot because it's allowed me to be able to have more contacts, a much greater volume of contacts than I might otherwise would have had working out of the office, because I just have to, I'm just on the phone all day.
Yeah. Yeah. You're much more productive, aren't you? I mean, I don't know. It seems crazy to think you're more productive.
I think we definitely are. I do wonder how this is going to translate, you know, when we go back into the office, though, return to work, and if we're able to maintain a lot of that stuff, because we work with a lot of older folks that really do value face-to-face interaction, which just by definition is slower. They don't want to do Zooms.
Yeah.
Or even conference calls. They really do value. And I think that's probably the same for everybody on this call. And transitioning back to that may be a challenge.
Well, when you think about it, there's no amount of service that's too much as long as people are paying for it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, somebody said, Rob, you know, I hired another consultant and they said that your model, you know, we're spending too much time servicing our clients. And I said, au contraire, you're just not charging enough. Okay. So the question really is not how much time are we spending with the clients. The question is, are the clients paying us for the time that we are committing to them? Supernova doesn't make sense for somebody that doesn't pay us. And meeting with elderly people is great as long as they pay you. So, you know, you just decide what you can afford to do. You know, some of it might be charity work. But, you know, you feel like you need to do it. And that's okay. Just understand that it's a, you know, you're making a financial commitment above and beyond what they're paying them. Because trust me, the lawyer down the street doesn't see them because they want to be seen. They see them because they charge them for their time. Okay. So just keep that in mind. There's, you know, 1242 is based on your minimum, not based on anything else. You gotta make enough money that 1242 makes sense. And then every year, you know, this was a good year, right? Everybody made more money. Clients' accounts went up in value. Therefore, your minimum should be higher right now. Mathematically. Your average client is larger, therefore your absolute minimum should have gone up, and your top 20% of your practice is increased in value, and therefore your target minimum should be higher.
Let me ask you one other quick question, Rob. Of the retail advisors that you consult with, now, retail, I'm not talking institutional, and I'm not even talking private wealth. What's the highest minimum that you've seen that people have?
I mean, this was a private client case, but you know, they're no different than you guys. I mean, just because they call themselves private client, this was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the gal had like 350 clients and was going crazy. and she had like a $10 million minimum. And I told her, we did the analysis of her practice, gave away a ton of clients to other people. Many of them were on her team already, but she was still, you know, maintaining control of them. So we raised her minimum to $25 million. And we talked later and she said, you know, Rob, I still have a problem. I said, what? So the $25 million minimum is not keeping them away. I said, well, that's a good problem, right? So she was still bringing in, you know, that was in the days of the good of oil and, you know, booming. And she was in on a few companies where everybody had $25, $50 million net worth. So that was the most interesting case I ever worked on in terms of raising minimums. I think it was from $5 million to $25 million and still did. She still had people meeting the minimum and exceeding it. But I, you know, I've taken people, I took a private, a regular guy, who had 80 clients. We got down to 40, he raised, doubled his minimum and did fine, doubled his business. So, you know, it's just a personal thing, what you think you're worth. It's really what it comes down to at this stage. What do you think your team is worth? Not even what the market will bear, because with Zoom, you can go anywhere. Right. You know, the market is the whole country. It isn't just here. It's who can you get referred to that meets your minimum?
Right.
Who are they and where are they? So when you think of your niches, don't think of your niches in your own geography. Think of your niches in the whole country. And money is, you know, money is flowing. It's exploding. And I don't, you know, it was an interesting CNBC news. You know, guy got on there and talked about the proliferation of RIAs and how what's happened to the market because of the use of ETFs and things like that, and how people just pour money into ETFs. So it was really interesting, one of the few interesting things I've heard in a while. And, you know, because it's more economical for the RIAs to not pay a money manager. And so when you get things like GameStop coming along, the ETFs have to buy them. And therefore you know, you get these weird distortions in the market. So, you know, who's really doing a good job for their clients today is a lot, you know, it's much more subtle than it used to be, but I think you guys are, you know, you don't realize what a good job you're doing if you give Supernova service to clients and how valuable it is.
Right.
Until you share it with prospects and centers of influence. But you got to be out there telling the story. You can't be keeping it a secret. The hardest thing is not building the model. That's easy. It's telling the story. Constantly out there telling the story and being patient with your telling of the story and not quitting. And just having your head that you're going to win. Just you're going to win. You're going to get those cases.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha.
So.
All right. Well, I got you off track here. Tell me about.
Hey, Rob, I have a question for you. This is Steven. So what? I know obviously it's different for everybody, but what's kind of like an average of what you think people put as a threshold to get into kind of Supernova Service Club?
To get into you mean what do you think, you know,
from a revenue standpoint?
I think $1 million is a good number. I think, you know, to do estate planning, to do reasonable estate planning, you should have $3 million. To do real estate planning, you need to have about 10. And, you know, if they change the tax laws, and which probably that's probably the highest probability of any tax thing they'll change is the estate tax. So they bring it down to 5 million. All of a sudden you get a proliferation of estate planning, which would be great for you guys.
Yeah.
But to me that, you know, 12-4-2 to me would make sense with somebody, you know, I don't know, guys. It's, you know, the world inflation has just changed things. So what's the number anymore? I don't know. It's become, you know, there's so much money around now. You have a minimum, absolute minimum of 5 and a target of 15, right? Still?
You mean it as far as for our group to take on a client? No, I don't know. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but personally, I've been bringing Patrick in for most stuff under 750.
He's talking about revenue, Stephen.
Yeah, I'd say probably 5.
Yeah, but the goal is to in terms of revenue, you know, $15,000 or $16,000 is a good, you know, jumping off point. So that translates into
$1.5 million client.
Well, we don't run it at 1% though. That's probably closer to $2 million for us. And perhaps that's an issue that we have as well, is our pricing perhaps is a little bit less than what you might see on an average. Although that's a question too that I would have for you. You know, what kind of pricing are you seeing?
Well, the question really is what kind of work are you doing for that money?
Right.
You know, what kind of returns are you able to give to clients? You know, you're not running a hedge fund where they get 2 and 20, but you're not putting it in ETFs where they don't do anything, right? I mean, you're doing something interesting with the money and probably getting a substantially better rate of return than they'd get if they tried it on their own. That's the only thing that I would, you know, risk adjusted. I understand that risk adjusted rate of return, but it's, you guys are worth something.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so I don't think there's anything wrong with giving the client a bargain, but just make sure the client knows they're getting a bargain, right? So if you're charging 70 basis points, you know, on 20 million, fine. Just make sure the client knows they're getting a deal. People say you charge 1%. How can you make any money? My God. Look at the money they've made in the last, you know, since 2008. They've made a fortune. And you've charged 1%? Are you kidding for all the work you do?
All right.
So how's the team doing? How are you doing on your processes? Let's go through the 5-star model quick. Planning.
We are still operating at 13% of the book having plans in place, but that was as of the end of January. But all new relationships that have been coming through the door, I believe most of them have plans now and have been getting plans. I know myself, I've been running plans for any new people coming through as well. And I think that's the same with everybody else. So, all new relationships getting planned. So that should help us long term.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Patrick, what's your plan for the year? Where will that, what would the number be by the end of the year?
I mean, obviously the goal would be any new relationships coming through the door, definitely have plans in place for them. And then going back through the book and looking, I mean, we have low hanging fruit back through the book. It's just our numbers have been so skewed because we have some relationships and this is getting into, I guess the other, what's the other one that I do, not planning, but brand management or whatever. We're still in the process of shedding relationships, and David has worked with, our manager to get another production number. Our manager, our complex manager, is giving us assistance on being able to fast track our ability to shed relationships better than we've had in the past. So I think that's getting established, and we're going to be able to go through our book and really trim the fat and get rid of things that we definitely don't see any opportunity for. So that should help with that 13% number we've kind of just been hanging on to for a while now, and going back and reviewing and figuring out who needs plans and whatnot. So we're still just in, we're it's an organizational
process. Here's what I would challenge right you. I would say to you, okay, you've got X number of people getting Supernova service, right? Mm-hmm. What percentage of those people have a plan?
Right. Right. That's what I was going to pipe in with that. So that number is significantly higher, Rob. So we were looking at it from two different perspectives. Patrick's showing the total sort of gross number based on everybody, right, Patrick, that has an account. And that includes participants in simple IRAs for businesses and, you know, things like that. But what you're getting at is, you know, of those accounts that fit the minimums, fit the target service, whatever, you know, we're in the 30 to 50% number, right? With a goal towards getting that to 100. It's, you know, over the next, you know, we'll call it 1 to 2 years. So as these things come up, we're getting in and we have more plans out there, but they're not monitored. And that's sort of the Morgan Stanley nomenclature for making sure that a plan is in force. So it's not only getting the plan in, but actually getting it monitored. And then if it's a monitored plan, it pops up on what Patrick's looking at, right? As a plan in force. So we not only have to get plans monitored, we have to keep plans monitored, because there's a procedure, a process for making sure that we, you know, hit a couple buttons along the way. It's some interval to make sure that an existing monitored plan stays monitored. Patrick, can you speak to that, how that works? Is it once a year? Yeah. Okay.
So is that, so here's what I would suggest, Patrick. I would say if you want to get to 100%, that's a good goal. 2 years may be a stretch, okay? But let's just say that you want to get, let's say we want to do that over even a 3-year period. That would mean that you'd want to go from, say, 30% to 50% by the end of the year. Okay? So how many plans does that mean you need to get, and who has those accounts? And then your job as director of planning is to monitor that and put that on the game board every week.
Yeah, I would say my other fit, like reporting on who gets Supernova every month, we've been a little behind on that just because of the organizational process post Scott retirement. So we're still working on that. So that plays into this, who's monitored and has a plan, because to David's point, I'm looking at our entire book, which doesn't consist of people that we'd even consider a Supernova. So I got to get my arms around everybody who we have in Supernova. And as we continue to go, we've just been, we haven't been able to get to that process as much as we want to, because we're still going through the organizational process, like I said, post Scott retirement. So there's a lot of stuff I got to take care of personally, with my book and everything like that. And there's people that I want to, like Supernova and stuff, but, we're just still kind of working on that. I would say over the next, you know, 1 to 2 months, we'll probably have a better feel for it, and we'll get a better process in place, as far as like putting people into the Supernova process. And then I can start viewing that and seeing of those people in Supernova who has plans, who needs plans. And then I can get those numbers a little more accurate for you going forward.
So are you guys, I mean, just let me kind of go around. David, are you guys, Stephen, are you guys aware of, I mean, what he's talking about? That you know who you're sort of doing Supernova with or haven't gotten around to it or,
you know? Well, I'll tell you, I can speak for myself and then I'll cede the floor. So yeah, we have, we all have our top client relationships, right? That fit that profile. And there's certain things that have to be part of that. The financial plan, the monitored financial plan is a necessary part of providing that. Plus there's a monetary component because we actually get compensated better if we use that as a hurdle. So it works. And one of my check throughs every time I'm preparing for a meeting is the status of the plan. Okay. So if I can't accomplish it this month, I want to be doing it next month. So that's where I'm getting to. The goal of, you know, 100% of your Supernova clients have a financial plan in place over the next, we'll call it 2 years. It's going to take time because their plans are complex and they need to be updated and adjusted and everything else. But I think if we approach it that way, we're more likely to have the plans in place for the people that are important to us. And the people that aren't as important, you know, they're at the bottom of the list for getting those plans because it takes time.
Can you give Patrick that number now? I mean, do you know what that number is? You have 40 clients doing Supernova and 40 clients not doing Supernova.
Say that again.
Do you have 40 clients doing Supernova and 40 clients not doing Supernova?
I don't have that number. I couldn't pull that off the top of my head if that's what you're asking. I don't know if, Dave Metz or Steven could. I couldn't give you that number off the top of my head. One of the things that we do each week during our operational meeting though, is we do monitor the implementation of plans. So that's a new thing that we, for this year that we put on our agenda. So we can sort of keep an eye on making sure that's continuing to increase. We are also starting to monitor, referrals given. This was based on your advice, referrals given, not just referrals gotten.
Great. Steven, what's your stat? Do you know who is getting Supernova, who's not?
I know exactly who's getting it and who's not. I would say it's not, I don't know, maybe, I don't think my number is quite at 40 that are getting it, but there's probably at least 40 that are not getting it. And it's as I'm going through, I started at, I think 12 or 14,000 is kind of where I started. And I realized I probably started too low. I should have started higher than that because it is labor intensive. It's good conversations, but it is labor intensive.
Oh yeah. I mean, Supernova works. It's just a question of, you know, how much time, you know, you gotta kind of decide what you want. For your practice to look like. I mean, if you can do it, it will generate revenues and business and, you know, all kinds of things. David Metz, what's your status?
Yeah, I think I come up with a list of people I've done it for. Yeah.
12? 100?
At least.
Okay. All right. Well, see if you guys, I mean, seriously, this is, you know, it's sort of Supernova light at this point, right?
I'll throw one other thing in here that it's the great big challenge. And you actually said this off the top when we first got to know you is, you become aware of it very quickly when you start scheduling out these monthly calls with people. And for us, a monthly call is not 15 minutes. It's just not. Half hour to an hour exercise. So,
right.
You find out very fast, to Stephen's point, that you can only allocate X amount of time resources to that. If you're going to even attempt to service the rest of your client base, which is to your point, the reason that you get rid of the rest of your client base and only focus on those top ones. So we're sort of stuck in this sort of in between where we've been trying to push things down and out, reallocate accounts. Certainly Patrick and Dana are part of that solution. in order to get accounts off of our plates to people that have the time resources to give to them. But then ultimately the ones that we need to get rid of, that's actually the getting rid of has been the biggest challenge that we've been dealing with. And we're just continually dealing with it, right? We've got tons of clients to move away. It's just about figuring out the best way to do it. So Patrick mentioned a new initiative that we're trying to get done. It's just always a lot slower than what we would hope it would be.
Yeah, it seems sad. I mean, because you guys have got all the right initiatives in place and you're just being, you know, somebody's throwing salt or sugar into your engine and not allowing you to move forward. So that's why we take a year with this program. Not because we can't do it in 4 months. We can do it in 4 months. But when we get a complex case like yours, you need to keep after it. And it'll probably take you guys, if you work hard, you can get it done in a year. But, you know, it'll probably even drag on more than a year with the problem of not being able to get rid of clients. So that's why we used to teach this course in 3 months and that was it. Goodbye. And you can imagine, frankly, you may not like these calls as much as some calls, but they, you know, it's accountability, right? It's what you need. It's not what you want, but it's what you need to keep you on the path moving forward. All right. You know, maybe you can do it yourself. I hope you can. But sometimes it's good to have a coach that kind of asks you questions that are kind of provide information and dialogue. Because teams kind of treat each other well and are nice to each other, but oftentimes don't have confrontations. They just don't. They don't want it. So what we provide is that, whoops, that, okay, where are we? Ooh, let's move. And the sooner you do this, by the way, the faster you will have time to grow. But I'm excited that you're growing. So let's move on to implementation. How is that going?
It's going well. We meet every week. We talk about our investments. Craig's the point person of actually pulling the trigger on that. We communicate regularly on the updates of everything. So it's going well.
And you have monthly 24-month calendar you're working on?
You say that. I don't think I sent out February's, but I'll get that out. But, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you want to have that a month in advance.
Yeah.
So that everybody can gear up for it, have it on their agendas, and do the homework to be prepared for it. If you're doing something like mortgages, you know, you got to do a little prep for it, and you got to get your back office ready because you can do a bunch of them. And they'll be like, where is this coming from? You know, you can blow them up if you're not careful. So you want to give people a chance to get ready for you. Marketing. It sounds like you got some marketing things in place. Steven, I think that's
you. Sorry about that. I was just So marketing, I mean, it comes down to more of the scoreboard is kind of the main thing that we were looking at this month. And it's to what we've been tracking, just net managed assets. And like David said earlier, we're adding referrals given as well. And so we need to actually put that into place and plans monitored. But from our big goal, which is net managed assets, which is what we think drives everything, it's kind of crushing our goal so far this year.
Isn't that the way? I mean, just think about it, guys. You're in the middle of all this chaos and you're doing great. It's kind of like, oh my God, what could we do if we were really focused? That's fabulous. Good. So when you say crushing it, what does that mean?
So the goal is through the end of February is 8 million and we were at 11.78 and that was as of a week ago.
That's great.
So over double.
Congratulations. It's a great country. Leadership.
I guess that's me. Yeah, that's me. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. Something's wrong with my ear pod here.
I can hear you.
I think that's the best thing that we are doing is adjusting our agendas to reflect these new goals on a weekly basis. So it's sort of, I guess it's more front of mind. I think it's a better sort of scoreboard exercise because, it's all there, for us to take a look at. And I guess the firm monitors this stuff and we're finally figuring out how to, see what the firm actually looks at. We've had a really hard time I've had a really hard time understanding how to look at revenue and some of the metrics that they look at. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. I mean, if they're judging us based on a series of metrics, we better know what the hell they are and be able to speak intelligently about them. So net acquired assets is a big term in our firm. So as well as net fee-based assets is really what Stephen was talking about, which is pretty daggone important because that's how we get paid. So, by monitoring that sort of stuff in a, on a more regular basis, I think we'll be more successful that way.
Yeah. Whatever you monitor, you will achieve. It's just attention, focus, getting back to it and keeping it top of mind. So good. Look, this is all new, right? We did a complete makeover, not of the whole practice, but of the way you were doing and tracking yourselves and organizing yourselves. And I think that, anytime you're going to do that much dramatic change, it just takes a while to get used to it. So, congratulations. You're a terrific team. I just think you can be the best. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke. You guys are really good. You know you're good. But we can always be a lot better. And I think you can see that. I hope you can see that by working together and monitoring this stuff and keeping it top of mind and giving that extraordinary level of service consistently without leaving anybody out, then you're going to feel good, get rid of the guilt, and end up with the world-class practice. So
we'll keep working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I too hard on you guys?
No.
Huh?
Not at all.
No. I hope I'm not. I try not to be, but
I think we've each been called a lot worse and talked to a lot more harshly by
coaches.
Much worse people.
old coaches.
No.
Anyway, no. Congratulations. You're doing great. Keep up the net new acquired assets and net new annuitized. That's what pays the bills. Just keep every week, drop a few more people into Supernova. Just keep forcing yourself to do that. And then, you know, each week work on a couple of financial plans. So.
Sounds great.
Good. Thanks guys.
Hey, thanks for your time, Rob.
All right. Bye bye.